What is up, Church Unlimited? It is great to be with you today. Thanks for joining us today. I want to just mention, of course, we've got the storm coming our way right now, which is crazy, of course. And so I'm kind of glad for the rain, though, because it's going to get rid of all the mosquitoes, because they are huge in South Texas. If you slap them, they slap you back right now. They're massive. And so I'm glad that we're going to be taking care of that problem. But we've probably got some flooding going on. And so, hey, just thanks for being part of our services today online. And we're grateful that you're with us today. And we pray that the storm passes quickly and that everyone is safe. We're starting a brand new series today called Go for Gold. I really believe that with this Olympic mindset that we can see our goals accomplished. And so I'm excited about this because I believe this is all throughout God's word. There's a lot of scripture that talks about athletes and training like an athlete, buffeting your body like an athlete. There's all kinds of verses on this. And we're going to be unpacking some of those over the next few weeks. But today I want to talk about the first part of the Olympics that we all have to deal with in our lives as well. And that's called the Olympic trials. You literally have to go try out. You have to pass the trials to even be able to go to the Olympics. That's another way of thinking about trials in your life, isn't it? Oh, wait a minute. Maybe God's introducing a trial in my life, not to slow me down, to stop me, but to grow me so that I qualify for his future. I qualify for the destiny that he has for my life. So let's unpack this today. I'm excited about this. Let's jump right into the scripture. It says in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, I'm going to read the whole scripture, then we're going to break it down verse by verse. Check it out. It says, my brothers and sisters, so he's talking to believers. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Now, there's a whole lot there, but right at the beginning, it tells us that trials, God knew about them. God's not surprised by them. God knew it was coming, and God has a plan for you in the middle of your trials. Now, I'm not sure which Olympic sport you're into, right? There's all kinds of different ones. You've got gymnastics, you've got judo, you've got of course, boxing, you've got soccer, you've got all these different ones, but there's some new ones this year, which is really cool, but my favorite new one is breakdancing, because I feel like I could have entered that one. And so, anyways, but that's pretty cool, and I actually watched some of the trials of it. It was unbelievable, and I want to encourage you to watch some of the trials, too, because a lot of times, you get to see greatness in the trials before they even go to the Olympics. A lot of times, they set records in the trials, and so could it be that maybe God's going to help you set a record in your life, and what you just think is a trial? Let's unpack this now. What does God have to say to us about our trials? Well, first off, he says, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy. Now, if you're like me, I consider it nothing but a pain, right? You're like, I'm not thinking, oh, I'm so excited about this problem. Oh, I praise God that the IRS sent me a bill and I owe them money. Wonderful, right? Like, most of us aren't thinking that way. Most of us aren't thinking, oh, this is so great. My boss just got on me. Oh, this is so awesome. You know, I don't have enough money left for the month. You know, most of us look at these trials and think, oh, this is so frustrating. But could it be that God's going to use that in our lives? So right now, I want to encourage you right now, if you're taking notes, to take some notes, first of all. Maybe you got a pen and paper, or you could grab your phone and open a note document. I want you to write this at the top. Write, my biggest problem. Just do that right now. Just write whatever your biggest problem is right now. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's a lack of time. Maybe you're frustrated in your marriage or another relationship you have. Maybe you're dealing with a wayward child right now. I don't know what it is for you, but whatever it is, maybe it's depression. Maybe it's boredom. Maybe it's frustrations of some sort. My daughter used to come to me and say, Dad, I'm bored. And I was like, oh, I can help with that. Come on, let's go clean my back room right now. She's like, no, I'm not bored anymore. And so, you know, oftentimes we have a problem, but God has an answer for that. God will help us understand that we can grow through our problem, through our trials. So first thing I want you to know about your trials is that God knew it was coming, even though we didn't. And so the word face used here says, when you face trials, the word face in the original Greek language is peripipto. So say that with me, peripipto. Would you say that? Peripipto, right? Very unique word. It actually means to fall into unexpectedly. Do you know where they use this in the Bible? They use this with the man who fell among thieves in the story of the Good Samaritan. So we're all going to fall into a problem unexpectedly. It's unexpected in our lives, but it's not unexpected in the mind of God. So real quickly, there are three things you need to know about your problems. The first is this, they are inevitable. It doesn't say if you face trials, it says whenever you face trials, which means they're coming. You're either in a problem and right now trying to figure it out, you're leaving a problem, you figure it out, or you're entering a new problem you don't know about yet. But all of us are going to face problems. The only place I can take you right now where there's a place where no one has problems is the cemetery. But if you are alive and kicking, you got problems. All of us do, and so we have to learn to work through these. So the first thing is they're inevitable. The second thing is they're unpredictable. I mean, I wish I knew what was coming, then I can prepare, right? It'd be a lot easier if we knew what was coming. But James 1 verse 2 says trials of any kind. It could be anything. It could be emotional trials. It could be family trials. It could be a legal trial. It could be all kinds of different battles. And so we all face problems. We don't expect them. We don't know where they're coming from. They can come from the right or the left. I mean, who knows? And so I just want to encourage you that they are always going to feel unpredictable. But here's the good news about your problems. The third thing is this. They're also purposeful. They're purposeful. God has a purpose in your problem. It says in James 1:3, the testing of your faith produces. It produces something in you. You know that? Your problem is trying to produce something in you. How many of you guys say, oh God, make me a godly man, make me a godly woman, right? We want God to make us into something great. God, help me to be like Christ. And God's like, no problem. Did you think I could make you like Christ without a cross? Did you think I could make you like Christ without any kind of suffering? Without any kind of rejection or betrayal? Any kind of problems? This just doesn't work like that. So what do problems do? The first thing problems do for us is it produces endurance. It produces the ability to hang in there, to not quit, to not give up. And I can promise you this is one of the biggest qualities you will need in your life. If you do not learn to develop endurance, then you will always live under your circumstances, not on top of them. And so oftentimes God introduces a problem that requires endurance. What does endurance mean? It means it's not easily solvable. It takes a long time. But if God doesn't introduce the problem, how can he introduce your growth? So your endurance is on the other side of your trial, of your problem, of your struggle. It forces you to go into training, to develop your skills, to develop yourself, to develop your mind, to develop your ability to endure some things. And so God will use this in your life. Your problems are inevitable, they're unpredictable, and they are purposeful. So what should you do when you face trials? I'm gonna give you three quick things that you should do when you face trials. The first one may really surprise you, but I promise you this can change your life. It has changed mine many times. And here it is. I wanna encourage you to rejoice. This sounds insane. You're like, okay, this is crazy. But people of faith have learned to stop and say, God, thank you for this problem. Just thank you for it right now. I just want to say thank you. Right now, maybe you're sitting next to your spouse or a child and they're driving you crazy and you're like, they are my problem. Turn right now and just say, I thank God for you. Right? They may be your problem right now. They may be driving you nuts. Thank God, because that's going to grow you into who you are. And so just turn to the person next to you that you love so much, it's driving you crazy, and say, you're really growing me right now, right? And so, no, it's true. Problem people can grow you. Problem situations can grow you. God uses that in our lives. And so we need to learn to rejoice. We have to learn to be thankful in all things. It says this in scripture. It says, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect. I love the word full effect. It's like a rap song. It's full effect, right? How does it have its full effect? So that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. Do you know how God's trying to beef up your resume? He gives you a problem. Because as you have to overcome that problem, your resume gets better for your next step. That's how that works. You say, oh, it's just so hard. I'm 20 years old and all my friends, their mom and dad are paying for their college and I have to pay for my own school, which means I had to go to community college. I didn't want to be there. I wanted to go to the really big, cool schools. I couldn't go there. So I had to work myself through. And then I'm going to have to transfer into some local college here and just live at home and work and try to pay for school and just get it done. Do you know how that looks on a resume? Compared to the person who had mommy and daddy pay for everything? God just puts you ahead by starting you behind. God has a plan for the thing that you want. Most people that are succeeding wildly in life didn't have more than you. They had less than you. They started with less and it grew them. It made them into who they are. You know why I had to learn to be resourceful as a pastor? Because we didn't have any money, we didn't have any people, and we didn't have any buildings. So I had to become resourceful real quick. say, Pastor, how do you know how to raise funds and get church focused on, you know, building a building to reach more people? Because that's the only choice I have starting off. And so because I didn't have anything, I had to learn how to get everything. When you are lacking something, God will grow you through that lack. So you have to learn to attack your lack. You have to learn to go after and say, okay, I can fix this problem. Just want to challenge you. We all have difficulties. Learn to rejoice in them. Say, God, thank you for this problem, because this problem is not meant to stop me. It's meant to make me better. And the second thing I want to encourage you to do is request. What does that mean, request? It means ask God for help. Just say, God, I don't know what to do here. Lord, would you show me what I should do? Would you show me how I should handle this? Just ask God. James 1:5 says, if any of you is lacking wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. Now, this is important to know. This verse, we use this as a wisdom verse, but we oftentimes pull it out of its context. We say, oh yeah, oh, just ask God, he'll just give you wisdom. No. But the truth is just general wisdom doesn't apply to you most of the time. You're like, I don't really care about all that. But if you have a current problem right now, you're like, I have a problem with my boss being all over me and not liking me, and I don't know what to do. God says, I'll give you wisdom specifically for people who have a boss that doesn't like them, who doesn't know what to do. I'm gonna give you wisdom. So you're like, oh, I want that. In other words, God's saying, I'm gonna give you the answers to the test you're in. Oh, I'm gonna listen now. So God's not just trying to give you wisdom. He's gonna give you wisdom in the very area you need it the most. So listen to God. He has specific, applicable wisdom today. In other words, when God gives you wisdom, it's always actionable. He wants you to do something with that piece of wisdom. So don't be afraid to make a request. And then this one may also surprise you, but the third thing that we're supposed to do based upon James chapter 1 is relax. Relax. Don't live stressed out. Don't live anxiously. Don't live worried. I love this new movie that came out, Inside Out 2. If you've not seen it, it is worth it as an adult to see it, because so many of us are letting anxiety run the board in our lives rather than letting joy run the board. I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to make sure that you recognize, God, I don't want to live in fear of everything going wrong, of everything's going to happen bad. I mean, this is the whole world's going to come apart. Instead, say, God, I trust you that even when I have problems that I don't understand, you have a purpose for it. You have a plan for this, God. You knew this was coming. The greatest work, the greatest piece of discipleship God wants to do in your life right now is help you overcome your trial. That is where your growth is. That is your opportunity. So people who are disciples of Christ are the people that are buying books online right now, a Christian book on the specific topic they're dealing with. And so these are the Christians who are, see, we're embarrassed that, I don't want anyone to see the title of my book that's about how to make your marriage better, because then people know my marriage isn't good. Well, first of all, we'll just think you're human if that happens, because we all struggle in relationships. We all struggle with parenting. We all struggle with stress and anxiety. We're all struggling with the same stuff. And so rather than stay in that struggle, get some wisdom from people who have studied the Word of God and apply it to their life. And all those authors who wrote those books on parenting and all, you know why they wrote a book on parenting? Because they were desperately needing it for their own kids. People who have figured something out, figured it out because they were desperate before you were. God came through and they wrote it down, and now you can read it. And so get that wisdom. And then what do? You relax. What does this mean? You're saying, God, I'm going to relax in my problem because I know you got it. I'm not going to live stressed out over this difficulty. Sometimes we're in the middle of doing something and people say, well, what happens if the money doesn't come in? And I say, well, then we just wait next year. Oh, see, when you have a long-term view, you're like, if it doesn't happen right this second, it's okay. In fact, maybe God doesn't let the money come in for something, or doesn't let some door open right now, because maybe the very thing you're needing before God opens that door is called patience. So you know how you learn patience is by having to wait in line a long time. Nothing teaches you patience like waiting, right? So it could be that if you're like, why don't I have this yet? You're like, God, I want it now. God's like, that's pretty much why you don't have it right now. It's because you're impatient, thinking somehow there's a direct link between the speed of which I get stuff and how much God loves me. And that's ridiculous. God loves you as much as he's ever loved you when he died on the cross for you. Please do not confuse God's love with getting everything you want. A good parent, a godly parent, someone who really loves their kids, does not give the child everything they want when they want it, because they know that will stifle the child's growth. It will hurt their development. So God sometimes lets you go through some things. He sets some things up to say, well, when you overcome this, then I'll give you that. That's a good parent. That's a godly heavenly father who loves you enough to grow you into who you can become. You're like, oh, my finances are a mess. And God's like, well, right. And so if you don't learn to deal with your personal finances, how could you ever run a business, run an organization? So because how you run something larger is based upon how you ran something smaller. So if you are a mess here, you're probably a mess at work, right? If you're a mess relationally at home, you haven't learned how to get along and function with people that are different than you at home, that's probably also happening at work. See, what I'm trying to say is that the personal issues you think no one notices, they eventually come out. So if you learn to grow personally in this area here, then eventually you'll be able to grow in those same areas outside of anyone knowing. Does that make sense? Where people see it. So I just want to challenge you that even if no one knows about your situation, God does. He wants to grow you there. So he says, but ask in faith, never doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You know what's driven, tossed by the wind? Whatever's popular now, you go with that. Whatever, this is what people think. And oh no, this is what people think now. And this is what people think. It's ridiculous. And so we have a lot of flip-floppy people with no backbone right now. And this is why it's so easy for the world to introduce to us falsehoods and call it truth. And we just go with it, okay, sure, that's true. When we can see with our own eyes it's not true, but yet we so want to be accepted that we just go with whatever the flow is. Why? Because we're doubting God's word. So just whatever someone says, I'll go with that. And your life is a mess. God's truth is a standard bearer. It doesn't change. Don't be like the person tossed by the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. It says, for the doubter being double-minded and unstable in every way must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. I can tell you right now, if you waver every day whether you're going to go run the track or not, like, I don't know if I'm going to go exercise today or not, you're not going to win the gold. People that win the gold don't do that. People win the gold have a made-up mind. They're like, no, I already know. I'm going to get up at this time. I'm going to go do this. And this is my routine. It's all written out. My coach has gone over with me. I know exactly what I'm supposed to be working on. And I know where I am in the process of working on it. That person wins the gold. You know who doesn't win the gold? I don't know if I'm going to be an athlete today or not. I don't know if I want to do that or not. I don't feel like it. Guys, we allow our lives to be run too much by our feelings. In fact, I really believe the average person who's depressed, I'm not talking about the person who has a chemical imbalance. That's the case. Go see a doctor and take the prescription they give you. But what I'm talking about is a person who's just constantly negative and it's not a chemical imbalance. They don't know why. I really believe most people that are dealing with depression, I'm convinced it's really not that they're clinically depressed. They just have an undisciplined mind. They just have not created the ability to say, I'm not going to read that story because that won't be good for me. I'm not going to watch that program. I'm not going to go to these social media influencers and follow them because that takes me down the wrong path. So we have to have the ability to discipline what comes in and what we hold on to, or you're going to be tossed around by what everyone else thinks and whatever's going on in the world today. That is incredibly unstable. So I want to challenge you instead to relax, trust God, and don't doubt his word. Stick with it. God has a plan for you. So what should you do when you face trials? Rejoice in them, request God's help, and then relax and know that God's got you. And then I want to leave you with three more things, and we'll wrap it up. And I'm going to give you one overarching point that's your go-to, that's your homework for today. But let me give you three things about your trials. Your trials have purpose. We talked about that. And I want to give you three things that your trials produce in you. You know, it says that they produce endurance. Well, there's three things they produce. The first is perseverance. It's another word for endurance, of course. Persevere means you hang in there. You don't quit. You don't stop. You're like, man, my boss told me that I could have this promotion, but they said there's no way around it. You got to be in this position for 3 years. And that's 3 years that I just got to sit around. I don't know what to do. Well, wait a minute. You know, it's funny because I looked at, you know, I actually was looking at my college degree that I never finished and I only have 2 years left, but I have 3 years left to wait. Oh, so I could actually end this 3 years. Finish my degree. Oh, see, now you're persevering in it. Now I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and use this time because I know this job pretty easily. And so they just want me to stay in it. I don't have to learn a lot of new stuff. I can kind of essentially just do my job and go home and not have to be thinking about it because I know how to do this. And so that means I have some time. That means I have a window. I can develop myself so that when I do get the promotion, I already have the degree for the next one. I'm lining things up. I want to challenge you to begin to think like this and utilize your time well. If you'll do that, you can persevere through some things and grow while you wait. James 1:3, the testing of your faith produces endurance. Persevere, hang in there, and take action while you're waiting. Number two, trials produce maturity. We've already talked about this a little bit, but I just want to say this. Look at the scripture. And let endurance have its full effect. Its full effect. Wicka, wicka, full effect. So that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. You ever felt like when something bad happens, you're like, I just don't feel like I'm enough. How many of you guys have felt that way? You just don't feel like I'm enough, attractive enough, smart enough, mature enough, godly enough, you know, whatever the enough is for you, right? Well, God basically is saying to you, actually, you are complete in Christ. You are enough. But the way that you're enough is through Christ, right? He completes us. But in the process of that, he says, I'm going to grow you into who I know you can become. So you're already enough. You're already loved by God. But now I'm going to grow you into becoming the full disciple of Christ that I've always intended you to be. And so I'm going to produce in you a maturity. And the way God does it is he introduces problems. And so if you've asked God to grow you in any area of your life, God's like, I'll do that. I remember, foolish me, when I was a young pastor, just like, God, I just want to be one of those seasoned pastors one day. I didn't know what I asked for. God's like, oh, no problem. I'm just going to throw problems at you for the next 25 years. And guess what? It seasons you. That's what it actually means. Seasoned pastor means I got bumps and bruises and 25 stabs all over my body from people who betrayed me, who are no longer here, who this and that. And you just have to learn to ride through all that. And, you know, you say, oh, but, you know, people talk bad about me and this. I'm like, when I hear that about me, I'm like, take a number. I don't even have time anymore. You know, if I can't calculate in any given month how many people leave our church anymore. It's too large for me to know how many people are coming and going. And so I had to get over that one a long time ago. So all the things I was so hung up on before, if you're going to become a seasoned leader, you just can't worry about that much anymore. So this is the problem we have today. You know, I had these pastors call me and be like, I'm just struggling. We just can't get 30 workers. I'm like, yeah, we can't get 30 workers for one service at one campus. 30 workers? You know, I have the same problems that they do. I just add a couple zeros to it. We just need 300 workers now. So just tell me whatever your problem is. And God says, if you don't learn to solve it right now, when you need 10 of something, how are you going to learn to handle it as a leader when you need 100 of something? Or a million of something. So how does God grow you? Trials, problems, difficulties. You mature through what you need. That's how he grows you. He doesn't just hand it to you. If he handed it to you, it would actually leave you with the resources you need without the maturity to handle it. So God's like, so I'm not going to give it to you the easy way because the easy way would hurt you. I'm going to make you work for it. I'm going to make it hard. I am intentionally, in a way to love you, going to make the next few months harder so that life will then get easier. It's so opposite in the way we think, but that's exactly what God wants to do. God's like, yeah, I could have made you a trust fund kid and you would have never been a good steward with money. But instead, I'm going to give you none of that and you're going to have to learn how to make 10 bucks go a long way. So the one day you can make $100 go a long way. So the one day you can make $1,000 go a long way. And those same principles you learned when you had only $10, if you apply when you have $100,000 income, oh, you'll be able to do a lot more than most people because you learned how to do without. So God loves you and I enough to not give us everything we want when we want it. Trials mature us. They really do. And then the third thing that trials do for us, the purpose in trials, is they increase your prayer life. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. What does that mean? That's prayer. You know, guys, God's got me on this prayer journey right now. I've been praying an hour a day, and it's really been fun because I don't take this as a brag. I think I pray an hour a day just to get as spiritual as you may wake up, but it takes an hour for me just to beat the bill out of me and let Jesus live in me instead. I'm just being honest with you. And so I'm telling you right now, this prayer time has taught me so much. But one of the biggest things I've noticed, just it's kind of like a side thing. I didn't really pray for this, but I just noticed this happening in my life, is that when when a problem comes my way, and I hear about problems every morning, I hear about something new, you know, I come to the office or at the house or something, this person had, this happened, that happened, this person said this, or they're leaving the church, or this, you know, we don't have money for this, or someone's mad at so-and-so, or whatever, right? There's always some kind of drama. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? There's always some kind of drama. You know what I've learned to do? Just not that worried about it. I'm like, okay. I'm just going to have peace. The Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord. It never says, oh, magnify your problems. So let's instead get focused on how big and awesome our God is. He's omnipotent. That means he's everywhere. That means he's also in the middle of your problem. So I'm going to focus on how big you are. And when I see how big you are, God, I realize how small my problem is. I just want to encourage you that some problems you fix, some problems you just manage. I'm just being honest with you. If you've been married, you already learned this. If you don't know this yet, I've been married over 30 years now. I'll tell you, I've learned this one, is that there's some things you just manage because that's who they are. Or that's who I am. And, you know, I'm not really going to be able to change my personality completely. So I'm sure there's things my wife just manages about me that aren't going to go away. There's some of that. But then there's other things that we just completely solve. That's great too. But that's how life is. But what helps you manage that or overcome that is an active prayer life. God, please help me today. Would you write that down? Would you write down, these are really complicated, deep theological words. Here they are. Ready? God, help me. God, would you just help me? I don't really know what to do anymore with my teenager. Would you just help me? God, I don't know why I wake up every day stressed. Would you just help me to actually enjoy my life rather than feel like my life is running me? I want to run my life. You know, here's a good one. Maybe you're frustrated with where you're at. Like physically where you're at. You're like, the job I go to, the places I go, the neighborhood I live in, the people. Maybe God says, you know what? The people who enjoy their life, build it. So maybe it's time, if you don't like your backyard, that you change your backyard. That you don't like your house, you can't afford a new one. Why don't you just fix it up a little bit? If there's something you're not happy with in your life, you either created it or you tolerated it into your life. Did you catch that? If there's something you don't like in your life, you either created it or you're tolerating it. But you can change that. You can say, I'm no longer going to tolerate being treated like that from this person. I'm no longer going to do that. Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to create what I want. If I'm not happy with something, I'm going to make it until I'm happy with it. I'm just going to work on it until I like what I see. Guys, when we moved here 26 years ago, there was no church. And we literally said, God, utilize our imagination that you've given us. Fill us with your thoughts, Lord. Show us what you want. And then let's create the church that we want to be a part of. Honestly, you may not like it, but I love it. Because we worked really hard to create this environment full of love and acceptance and excitement. I just want to encourage you, if you're not happy with something in your life, you have the power to change it. You have the power to recreate it. Isn't that funny? That's where we get the word recreation from. You know, when you're doing something right, it feels like recreation. When you do your job right, it feels like you're recreating. You just love what you do so much. You're like, I've designed it in such a way that when I do it, I love doing it. And then it's fun. And then they actually pay me for this. That's the way God wants your life to be. Find the fun in what you do. And if you're unhappy with it, change it. You have the ability. You are not stuck with where you are now. You're also not stuck with who you are now. You can change all of those things and more. I want to challenge you to be willing to do that. There's a true story about a girl named Beth Ann Desientes. I hope I'm saying her name right. She was attempting to qualify for the 1992 Olympic Trials Marathon. And the marathon trial requires any woman to go to the Olympics, they have to run a marathon in 2 hours and 45 minutes or less. Clearly, I would not be qualifying for this, but she was really good, and she felt like she could do that. She was training for it. She'd worked for it. She goes to the trial. She's there. She starts her race off well. She's going strong. Everything looks good until mile 23. At mile 23, it's like her legs just gave out and she literally fell to the ground. You know, you can imagine the hit that would be. You know, the ground is, of course, not very forgiving. It hurts. You know, she was already tired, exhausted, worn out. She's dazed. She's like, doesn't even have a clear mind. She's like, whoa, 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 what just happened, right? And so she hears the crowds at this point, because at this point, the crowds are gathered in those last few miles. They start saying, get up, get up, get up. And she picks herself up, and she just continues to go until she's 200 yards from the finish line. At this point, by the way, she's at 2 hours and 43 minutes. She only has two more minutes. She's like, this is all but done. There's just no way. 200 yards in her condition, she's just fallen to the ground a second time, 200 yards in 2 minutes. I don't know if I've got this in me right. She gets up, she drags herself, she's just walking now, dazed. And people are cheering, go, go, go. And she's just trying to keep from falling again. She's just barely making it. And finally, she's literally 5 foot from the finish line and she just falls. She can hardly see straight. And they say, no, 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 just move, keep moving, keep moving. And so she just figures out where she's going and she can see the finish line and she barely drags herself over the line. The place goes crazy. Because when she dragged her fingers over the line with everything she had left, she finished in 2 hours and 44 minutes and 57 seconds. I mean, a whole 3 seconds she had left, she could have taken her time. I happened to be in an event a while back, and Dr. Phil McGraw was there, and he spoke to a bunch of pastors. It was really cool to see him and to hear him and to hear his testimony. He talked about how he, at 13, accepted Christ as his Lord and his Savior, and how that changed his whole world. He grew up with a father who was a drunk and beat his mother, and just every night he hardly ever saw his father sober. So he had a horrible background. Isn't that interesting? What Dr. Phil's turned into? So what did God give him to become so great? A massive deficit. And so that massive deficit caused him to say, I want to learn everything I can about human functioning, how humans can function well, because I have a PhD and how they function terrible. But he said something that day that stopped me cold. I was taking notes, writing as fast as I could, great insights he was giving. And he said this. He said, I have studied over 300 of the most successful people in the world. I've met them. I've interviewed them. I've asked them how they did what they did, how they do what they do. And he said something that really stopped me cold. It was profound. It was brilliant. And I believe that this will be brilliant for you today. This is what he said to me. He said, successful people are people who do something until they achieve it. I don't stop training until I can do this sport better than the next guy who's also training, so that when the trial comes, I get the spot. I just don't, listen, there's plenty of people who have failed the bar exam, in the legal bar, right, or the medical, you know, that, you know what? They just keep taking the test until they pass. And you know, there's a lot of doctors, great men and women, who know all kinds of things that can really help you, and they failed repeatedly until they didn't. And I want to challenge you with this simple notion. Quit thinking you need more. You don't need more. In fact, honestly, if I really want to develop you, I'd take a little bit away from you. If you had a little less, you could reach success faster, because then it would put you in the category of desperation, of having to stretch, of having to crawl your way to that last little bit. Don't stop until you get there. Don't stop until you reach the goal. Here's the conclusion. We'll give you two more verses and we'll wrap it up. Proverbs 21 says, careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. You know, we're busy doing things that don't matter, aren't we? We are in the thick of thin things, things that don't really matter a lot. We're busy. People who are busy oftentimes are just doing things that don't really matter that much. I've noticed something that's really interesting. People that achieve a whole lot have extra time. How is that? I know it's because they work themselves into having extra time by planning their lives well. So I just want to challenge you with this notion. You have all the time you need to do what God told you to do. You already have all the time you need. You have all the resources you need to do what you're supposed to do. Well, I don't have all the resources for this. Well, I can't afford college. Well, they don't make you pay for the whole thing up front. Can you pay for a semester? No, I can't. Can you pay for one payment of a semester? Pay the payment. Go to class. Keep the job. Keep working. And then make sure you save enough so you can pay the next payment and keep going to class. And that's how you finish a degree. What I'm trying to say is that just don't quit until you get there. You can do this. Habakkuk chapter 2 says this: write the vision, make it plain on tablets. We would just, you know, be using digital tablets today, right? But make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. Get clear in your mind what you want. Write it out. Make it clear. Write it on a tablet. Tablet's not very big, so it's like, this is what I want. I want a degree in this by this date, by 2028. That's my goal. No matter what else happens, that's going to happen. And guess what? Then you can put a smile on your face and realize, oh, it feels good. Because I know in 2028, I'm going to have that degree. You're like, yeah, haven't done anything yet. Yeah, but now, no, but you have a settled mind. And a settled mind's the first step. Now I know what I'm going to do. And then 2028 comes, it's going to happen. And you start pacing and say, how many classes do I need? What do I need to accomplish? Or maybe say, you know, by this date, by 2028, I'm going to, you know, or 5 years from now, 2029, I'm going to make this much money. And just figure out, okay, sit down with your boss. So what do I need to do to get from here to there, you know? And they may say, well, you can't do that inside your position, but there's going to be other positions available. So here's what you need to do to make sure you're on the short list for when those positions come available. So whatever it is, what I'm trying to say is everything is figure outable. Everything. Whatever you're facing, you can figure it out. God has given you a good mind. Why couldn't God just write it in the clouds? Because God wants you to use your brain. So create a plan and then work that plan until you reach your goal. You can go for gold. And don't quit going for gold until you get that gold, until you got that piece of gold, and you do what all the athletes do, right? They take it and they always have to have that shot. Don't let they bite on it. I love that shot. They're saying, I'm sinking my teeth into what I was dreaming about as a 10-year-old little girl. When I watched the Olympics and I watched all those gymnasts and I said, I want to do that. And I've been doing all my gym classes and I'm in the front and the coach says that I got potential, and I just kept dreaming it and working towards it and working towards it and working, and I failed and I didn't make the cut, and I tried again and I didn't make the cut, and I tried again and then I tried again, and then I made the cut. And that just got me in the door, and then I had to work even harder. But I kept going and I didn't quit until I could sink my teeth into the gold. God is saying to you and I today, if there's anything you forget, if you forget everything about this message, but just remember this, don't stop until you get the goal. Don't stop. Would you pray with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? God says in Scripture, you are more than the conqueror. You are more than an Olympian. You are more than a champion. There's more in you. You can do this. You're not stuck with your current mindset. You're not stuck in your current circumstances. You're not stuck in your current finances. You're not stuck in your current situation. It can all change, but God says, you know how I change it? I change you. I produce in you a maturity, an endurance, a perseverance. I complete you. How do I do that? I give you a trial. And you recognize, oh, this trial's not here to stop me. It's here to bless me. This trial is my teacher, and it's going to teach me how to become good with money, good with my time, good with people, good with problems. It's going to make me resourceful. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to encourage you right now. I know you wrote down your problem right below. Just write this: I will create a plan, and I will work that plan until I overcome. I will create a plan, and I will work that plan until I overcome. Jesus' plan wasn't complete to be beat, to be spat upon, to be stripped of his clothes, to have his clothes gambled away. Still wasn't complete. He's like, nope, not enough, not yet. And they drove the nails in his hands. He said, not yet, not done. But then there came a moment when you said, now it is what? Finished. He's like, this is what's required for me to win the gold. You know what his gold is? You. He was thinking of you. We need to have something in our mind that we're focused on to get us through the difficult times. For many of you, mom and dad, it needs to be, you know, I'm going to overcome this because I don't want my kids to deal with this. So if I'm going to overcome my drinking problem, they'll grow up with a drinking problem. If I'm going to overcome my temper, then I'm going to raise boys who have a temper. Right? If I'm going to overcome my being shy, not going for my goals, being too timid in life, then I'm going to raise children who are too timid, who are afraid to go for it. So when I overcome my problem, other people are affected. See, it always comes down to people, doesn't it? I promise you, Olympians, in their minds, when they picture the goal, they picture standing on that platform and all their friends and family and the world's watching, and they see them and they realize this is impacting people. They want to be the inspiration that someone else was to them. How about you? God's given you abilities, talents, skills, but he's also given you problems. And those are required to put your abilities, your talents, and your skills to work. Because that is what it means to go for gold in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to encourage you in this prayer time. Maybe your prayer today is to say, God, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop until I reach this goal. Until I'm no longer depressed. Until I'm no longer addicted. I will not quit going to AA. Until I am fixed. Until my marriage is good, we will not quit going to counseling. Until our financial freedom happens, I will not quit saving money. Until, I'm just going to keep going until I achieve what you put on my heart to do. God loved you so much that he sent his son. Jesus didn't stop until he gave his life. Then he rose again, proving that he is God. Now he waits for you to individually receive him. By praying a simple prayer, you can receive Christ right now. Just say this prayer with me. We're going to say this out loud across all of our campuses, those watching online. Just say this with me. You say, Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for not stopping until I could be saved. In your name we pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, would you just lift your hand high right now if you just gave your life to Christ? We see your hands. Praise God. Thank you. Hold your hand high. All of our campuses, thank you. Thank you. We see your hands all the way in the back there. Praise God. Thank you. We see you. God sees you. If you're watching online with us right now, you can let us know in the text chat. Just text right now. Just text my hands raised or click hand raised right now. We know you just gave your life to Christ. If you're in our prison ministry, raise your hand high. We praise God for you. You've given your life to Christ. That's a new kind of freedom you didn't think you could have, but you can. You can have freedom behind bars. How crazy is that? That's how amazing God is. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. And thank you, God, that we can go for gold in our lives. And may we not quit going for it until we sink our teeth into it. Thank you, God. You have provided a way, a path. You have provided a reason, Lord, for us to become who you call us to become. We got to pass some trials. So God, today we thank you for our problem. We thank you for our struggle. We thank you for it because you're going to grow us through it. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true.